One of the real joys that came to us while we were living in New Zealand was the gradual introduction of some things American. And I'm not sure that New Zealanders would look at it that way, but we did. And I remember driving down the motorway, that's what they called their express highway there, the motorway from where we lived in one of the suburbs to the central city of Wellington, New Zealand. And there, before my eyes, was an advertisement for Colonel Saunders' Kentucky Fried Chicken. And there was a photographic reproduction of that delicious product. And the question was asked, have you licked your fingers lately? Well, I'm not just crazy about Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I can tell you that seeing that sign really interested me. And so I went and found Kentucky Fried Chicken stand. It looked just like it does here in America, just a carbon copy. And I actually had some of the product. Now, I think you would agree that I would have been rather an odd person if, driving down that motorway and seeing that sign, I had said to myself, oh, isn't that wonderful? I hope they have another sign like that 3 or 4 blocks down the road. And then when I saw that, I thought, oh, this really is tremendous. I hope they have another one a few blocks down the road. You see, the purpose of a sign is not to advertise itself, but to advertise something much more wonderful than itself. That is to say, the product for which the sign exists. But the sad thing is, brothers and sisters, that when it comes to the signs and wonders of the Bible, and interestingly enough, in the New Testament, the overwhelming majority of the times that they are designated, the word that designates them is signs. The word miracles is not used very often. The word wonders is not used so very often, but the word sign is constantly used because that's what they were. They were signs. And it was Peter, the apostle, who said our Lord Jesus Christ was approved of God by miracles, by signs, and by wonders. And the record shows that these wonderful signs that were done by Jesus were never in and of themselves doubted or questioned by anyone. You all know that the Sanhedrin, which was the highest ecclesiastical body of the day, and upon which sat some of the famous Pharisees and Sadducees of the time, and which became the implacable enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ, yet that Sanhedrin is reported to have had a discussion in which this was the sort of thing that was said. What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle or sign has taken place through them is apparent to all that live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 47. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, was attested by many signs and wonders, and the purpose of those signs and wonders was not to draw attention to themselves, but to something much greater. And here today we look at one of the most wonderful miracles that ever took place in this world. We are sometimes told today by people in the evangelical community, people in the Pentecostal movement, and especially people associated with faith healing and the like in our generation, that the reason why you don't have miracles Sunday after Sunday in a church like this one right here is because we don't have enough faith. I don't know if you've ever heard that and thought about it, but I consider that a serious enough charge that it should be answered. Is it true that we do not have miracles, signs, and wonders in our midst because we do not have enough faith? Is that true? Well, the interesting thing is, as you study the Bible on this subject, that it was not the faith of these people that brought this great wonder from our Lord Jesus. To the contrary, it is exactly the opposite. I read for you a little while ago from John's Gospel, chapter 6. And here were these people who had seen this great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, in which the divine Son of God literally created food out of nothing, unless you want to call 5 loaves and 2 fishes something to create food for 5,000. And really, it wasn't 5,000, it was more like 12, because there are women and children there too. And the point is that those people, the next day, came to Jesus, and he said, "You didn't really discern the sign. You just want more bread to eat." And in verse 36 of that 6th chapter of John, Christ states in no uncertain terms the fact that the whole problem with these people was that they did not believe. That was the problem. And even the disciples of our Lord Jesus did not expect anything on this magnitude. And indeed, even after they with their own eyes had seen this, one of the greatest of all the miracles in the history of the world, even after that, they did not really understand. Because, as Mark says in his Gospel, chapter 6, verse 52, their hearts were hardened, so that they did not discern the truth. And so it was in the background of an unbelieving multitude and an undiscerning circle of disciples, without, in other words, any inducement by the super faith of anybody whatsoever, that our Lord Jesus Christ took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed a great multitude. And every one of them there had all they wanted to eat. And when they had finished a completely satisfying meal, they were able to gather up 12 full baskets of the fragments and parts that were cast aside by those who had been eating. Now, that's what I would call a real miracle. That's what I would call a self-attesting miracle. There wasn't one person in that entire crowd of 12,000 who could have denied it. It was perfectly self-evident that this was a wonder of wonders, because everyone who was there that day had tasted it and had been nourished by it, altogether apart from whether or not they had faith. Because if you go on reading through chapter 6 of John, you will find that there was only a handful who did. Not only was the multitude offended before the day was over, but it says that many of Jesus' own would-be disciples, when they heard what he had to say, went back and walked no more with him. And Christ was left that day with a handful of disciples, and he said to them, "Are you going to go away also?" And Peter said, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? And that was the day in which the year of popularity faded out of view, and there began the year of opposition in the ministry and life of our Lord. And the fact that it happened is also confirmed by the amazing reality of the fourfold account of the gospel. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record in full what happened that day. And that is one of the great things in the New Testament that the liberal and modernistic critics have a very hard time explaining away. Now, I've read books in which liberals have said, well, what really happened was this. They were all hungry. It was time to eat. And there was a little boy there who got so hungry that he decided to open his lunch. So he broke out his lunch and started to eat bread and fish. And everybody else saw him do it, so they opened their lunch and they ate their bread and fish. And then the story got started that this happened. Now, the reason I can't accept that is this. One of the things I've noticed over the years in studying the subject of miracles is that there are still many reports today of miracles. But you know something? They're always so far away I can't check up on them. And they always happen in such circumstances that there's only a very few witnesses and I don't know where to find them. But here was a miracle. And we know that the Gospels were written soon after the ascension of Jesus. Here was a miracle so notorious that it could have been denied by probably at least 5,000 people when any one of those Gospels was written. They weren't all dead. So you can see that when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had the courage to circulate this in public, it can only be because they very well knew that there were thousands of eyewitnesses who could say, yeah, that's really what happened. Now, they might not agree with the conclusions that these apostles drew from the event, but they would say, yeah, that's what happened. Because it did happen. It really was a miracle that took place in this world. And every one of those 12,000 people would say, yes, that's true. I was there. I remember. I ate. I had a good meal. And that's the wonderful thing about the miracles of Jesus. They really did happen. Right out in the open where everybody could see them and where nobody could deny them. Now, there is not any such thing in the world today, as you very well know. No miracle that I've ever heard about in all of church history, subsequent to this time, remotely approaches this in its self-authenticating integrity. The young people here with me are studying church history, and I've read quite a lot in church history. And in all the years from the time that Christ ascended to heaven to this hour, I don't know of any such event that has ever taken place as the feeding of the 5,000. John, in his gospel, says quite accurately, John the Baptist did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees called a council and said, what shall we do? For this man is performing many signs. You get that? Even his most implacable enemies don't even try to deny the miracles that he is doing. For this man is performing many signs. And if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So even the men that were plotting to destroy Jesus also bear witness to the miracles. And the reason is the simple fact that God gave these wonders for signs. Why were there signs like this at that time and not today? Well, it's very simple. Why were there signs along that motorway when 5 years earlier there were no signs like that along the motorway? Well, it's not hard to tell you. Because 5 years earlier there was no Kentucky Fried Chicken in all of New Zealand. And after they brought Kentucky Fried Chicken in, then they put up the signs, and the sign says, here it is. Go try it. And before the divine Son of God came to this world, there were no signs like this. And while the divine Son of God was here in this world, there were signs. And the Bible says, God the Father certified and attested His Son Jesus through many wonderful signs. But even the disciples of Jesus were slow to understand the real purpose and meaning of the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. A little later on in the gospel account, for example, you read that the disciples again traveled over the same route, as it were, in the same area with Jesus. Well, do you know what happened? They forgot to take bread. Was that carelessness? Were they just forgetful? Did all 12 of those disciples just somehow conveniently forget that day to take bread with them? I have to tell you this, that I'm far more conscious of my desire for food than to risk that. I always make some kind of provision in the back of my mind so I don't have to go hungry, don't you? Well, you know you do. How many of you people have ever had to go without two meals in a row in your entire life? No matter where you go, what you do, you make some kind of provision to feed that right there, don't you? Well, how is it then that these disciples forgot to take bread? I believe that they did it, maybe not consciously in a deliberate way, but subconsciously. It was deliberate and rested upon the fact that they had seen this miracle. And so Christ rebuked them that day. He says to them, you better take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Now, you know what leaven is. It's something that you put in the dough to make it rise, and it spreads out through all that dough until it is ready to bake. Leaven is something that affects everything else with which it is mixed. And so he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Well, you study the Bible, you say, what did the Pharisees and Herod have in common? And you know what it is? They wanted to see miracles. That's what it is. Because they said, what sign are you going to do continually in order that we might continually see and believe? That's what the Pharisees said. And last week when we were dealing with the story of Herod, we saw that Herod also was very keen to see miracles. So Christ is saying to his disciples, you better look out, you fellows. You better take heed. Because the same thing that has infected the Pharisees and Herod is infecting you. You want to see miracles all the time. So the leaven that Christ was warning about and warning against was the leaven of clinging to the signs as if they were so wonderful, instead of going to get some Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that's stupid. And ridiculous. Remember how the people, the very same people who were here and saw and tasted this wonderful miracle of Jesus, came to him the next day And Jesus said, you are seeking me not because you saw, and that word in the Greek means you really discerned. You really understood. You saw with the mind what it was really all about. No, they didn't. Not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And then he said, don't work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. They didn't see, in other words, that this miracle was a sign. That's what they didn't see, that the miracle was a sign. A wonderful picture of something much greater than itself. You can't eat a sign. You've got to go get some fried chicken. Now the error here is a very simple one, and yet it is constantly being made by people today, as it has down through the ages. Let me give you one example. It is the doctrine of baptismal regeneration. Do you people know what that is? The doctrine of baptismal generation is the doctrine which says the water of baptism in and of itself will cleanse away the sin of the little infant who is baptized. So you bring the little child to be baptized, and you think that just because water is placed on that little infant, its sins are going to be washed away. That's the doctrine of baptismal regeneration. It is to say, in effect, well, there, now that's all I need. I've got baptism. That's all I need. Now my sins are cleansed away, and I'm all right. I'm a child of God. And that is to confuse the sign. Because that's what baptism is. It's a sign. It's a display. It's an advertisement of what God does in a higher realm by the power of His Spirit as He cleanses, renews, and regenerates the human heart. Baptism is a sign and seal. It's not a nothing. It's not insignificant. We are commanded to do it. But that sign itself is not God's mighty grace and power any more than that sign along the motorway is a meal. That's not a meal. It's a picture of a meal. And that's a very big difference, you see. And today, throughout much of the visible church, this error is growing. Do you know that they have today in many Protestant denominations what they call a liturgical revival? Now, our reforming fathers, when they reformed the church, they threw all that rubbish out and they said, what we want is the simplicity of New Testament worship, where you have the Word, the sacraments, prayer, and discipline. That's what constitutes the beauty of holiness in the house of God. But you see, having lost sight of the reality, today people crave more and more of the symbolic. They want more and more of the sign. I remember I went into a Reformed church in Iowa one time, and they had signs plastered all over the walls. And I believe the reason is because when you lose sight of the reality, the sign itself becomes your preoccupation. Now, this can be done by what they call a liturgical revival. It can also be done on the other side by what we call a new Pentecostalism. And there'll never be a new Pentecostal any more than there will be a new birth of Jesus. Because that's a once-for-all event in the history of God's kingdom. It never will happen again. And to wish that it would happen again is to completely misunderstand the kingdom. Well, I hope that gives you a faint idea of the meaning and purpose of this miracle. For it was only meant to be a picture of something greater. And if you see that, you will understand this statement by Jesus, which is found in John 14, verse 12. I wonder if you've ever really thought about this statement. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus is talking to his disciples, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Well, now, if you believe in the Neo-Pentecostal idea, what do you do with that text? Do you know of any one instance of the history of the church since Christ ascended to heaven when anybody, not to mention everybody, but when anybody ever did a greater miracle than this one? Do you? Have you ever heard of any greater miracle than this one? And yet, you see, the all too common assumption is that what Jesus was saying there is, well, if you really believe in me, then you're going to do greater miracles than I have. What a lot of nonsense. Who could ever do greater miracles than Jesus? It's never happened, and it's not happening today, and it's not ever going to happen. Because he is the divine Son of God. You see, Jesus wasn't talking about doing miracles. He never did say that all believers would work signs and wonders greater than his. The word in that text is not signs, it's not wonders, it's not miracles, it's works. And the fact is that we can do greater works than Christ was doing in those miracles. Does that sound incredible? Well, let me just make it very clear to you. What really happened that day when those 12,000 people sat down to eat? Well, they were hungry. They had a good meal. They enjoyed it. They were amazed that Jesus could do this. And then 6 hours later, they were hungry again. And they had to eat again. With or without a miracle, they had to have more food. And the next day, the same. And that means that, marvelous as that miracle was, it had no lasting benefit for anyone. Do you know there will be people who suffer eternally in hell who ate that fish and bread that day? That's right. The Bible makes it very, very clear. That was not a saving thing for anybody. And there are many other miracles. Jesus Christ tells us in his Sermon on the Mount that on the Day of Judgment, there will be many who will say, Lord, Lord, did we not ourselves do many mighty works? And he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Even people who were the workers of some of the miracles of the Bible, that doesn't make them inheritors of eternal life. It was a miracle when Balaam's ass spoke. But he is not going to be in the kingdom of God. He's just a donkey. He's not inheritor of the kingdom of God, you see. Balaam prophesied the future, and you can't do that without miraculous help. And yet Balaam was in the bond of iniquity. So what you see here is that this miracle had no lasting benefit for anyone, but it was a picture of something that does have a lasting benefit for people. And that is why Jesus, when he rose from the dead and called his apostles to him, did not say, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and work miracles all over the world. It's not what he said. What he said is, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In other words, he didn't say go into all the world and manufacture some bread to give people a single meal. He said, no, I want you to go into all the world and give them the bread of life. For the bread of life is a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that comes by preaching. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there were 10, maybe 12,000 people who ate bread that day that Jesus made in a supernatural way. But did it do them any good? Any lasting good? Not unless they understood that it was only a sign. And John's Gospel shows that most of them didn't. So that even though it was one of the greatest miracles in history, in and of itself, it had no lasting and eternal benefit. And the fact that they didn't understand that is clearly shown by their request to have a kind of updated, modern, in terms of their life, version of the manna from heaven. That was a great miracle. It's the only one they could think of that topped the miracle of Jesus. Because it came every day for 40 years. Say, why don't you do that? And they didn't realize that the Bible says that whole generation, everyone past 20 years of age that went out of the land of Egypt, except for Caleb and Joshua, every last one of them perished in the wilderness because they didn't believe. 40 years they had a miracle, and they still ended up without faith in the living God. So I want to tell you something, people. If God sent an angel down here today and he could stand right here and we could have a conversation, you could listen in on that conversation. And that angel said, Williamson, how would you like to have the power to do great signs and wonders? So you could heal the blind, restore the deaf, raise at least a few people out of their graves back to life, and one time in your ministry will even allow you to have a potluck dinner and you just manufacture the food out of thin air. Or I give you the other choice, which is to preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, who really is the bread of life, so the dead man can live, not for a few years, but forever. Which of those two would you pick? Well, I haven't got any trouble with that at all. I would choose what I'm doing right now. Because I really do consider the work I'm doing now to be greater than the work Christ did when he fed 5,000. And did you ever notice something very significant? Even that miracle was a kind of picture of what I'm talking about. Because the miracle happened somehow, some way, between the time that Christ broke 5 loaves. That's all he broke, 5. And then gave them to the disciples, and by the time the disciples got out there, they had something for everybody. I don't know how. What happened when somebody took a piece of bread off one end, did it grow on the other end? I don't know. Something like that must have happened. But this I do know, that Christ, the divine Son of God, worked that great wonder in some mysterious way through his servants, the apostles, who distributed that food. I do know that. And it is the same with the preaching of the Word of God. I know that I don't have the power to bring anyone from death unto life. I don't have the power to open anyone's eyes, but I do know this, and I've seen it many times in the past 35 years, as I preach the faithful Word of God, he does through me. I know that. And that is a whole lot more wonderful than that miracle, which was, after all, nothing but a sign. And a sign, important as it is, really can never stand on its own as important and significant. So as you go down the highway of life, don't look for more and more signs. Having seen the sign, go get the real thing. And the real thing is fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ, participation in His body and blood, for that is really the bread of God, which, if a man eat, he will not die, but live forever. May God give you an understanding of what the signs and wonders of the Bible are all about, so that you can come and eat the bread of life, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. We thank you this day, dear God, for this wonderful exhibition of the power of Christ. Grant that we may read the sign aright and come to Him, that we might have life eternal. This we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.